So I want you to take a scripture that you are so in love with and use it to pray blessing over your life, your family. Take that scripture, and if you don't have any, you can go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to verse 27. Or you can take Psalm 20, Psalm 21, Psalm 23. You can take those ones if you don't have any, but I believe each one of us should have a scripture that you just delight in the Lord with. So let's take it individually and bless yourself, bless your family in the name of the Lord and in the word of God. God delight in us blessing ourselves in his name. The Lord begin to quicken into my heart that this is the hour God's people must know how to bless themselves. So take a word and bless yourself. Just pray blessing over your life. Take a scripture. And also go to Deuteronomy 28. There are some blessings related there. Leviticus 26. Just pray over yourself. Invoke God's blessing over your life. Speak it out and let your two ears hear what you are saying. Bless yourself in the name of the Lord. Don't keep quiet. Open a scripture and bless
yourself. Oh, my borders of pleasant soul.
Father,
in Jesus' name.
Oh, Jesus.
And as we have spoken, the Lord shall do an even more
in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
As you have spoken over yourself and your loved ones in the ears of the Lord today, the Lord shall do even more.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because the Lord watches over his word to perform.
Yes.
Every scripture you have taken and claim and prayed over your life, the Lord will watch over it diligently.
Amen.
Perform it towards you.
Amen.
Towards me. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Okay, we will just be looking at a meditation. I really don't know the title to give to it, but as we go on, I believe God will give it a title. But it's something that I consider necessary, particularly at such a time as we are in. We know we are dwelling in a very, very peculiar and unique time in the history of humanity. A lot of things are happening both in the physical and in the spiritual. Things are happening at a very fast rate. And I consider this time for us to sit back and look at things the way God arranged it. It is time for us to count the cost, or take an evaluation, or make an assessment. And let's ask ourselves, what is all this all about? What is all this all about? All this, our Christian life, our Christian work, what is it all about? What is the basis of it? What is the foundation of it? So there is a sure foundation, and we need to individually begin to look again at the foundation at the very beginning. And it is that thought that I've been feeling my mind actually. And when the indication came that I'm going to minister, I just continued that these are not ordinary days. These are not times we can just continue to do the things we used to do. I liken it to the time of Abraham. If you read the book of Genesis chapter 15, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant, a sure covenant with him. And chapter 16, there seems to be a kind of a detour. There seems to be a kind of a shaken. Abraham seems to be, you know, something happened, you know, to his walk with God. His walk with God became not the way God expected it from chapter 15. Chapter 15 was such a glorious chapter. I mean, things went very well. You know, God spoke to him, said, your seed will be like the stars of the heavens. And the Bible says he believed the Lord. And the Lord said, wow. The Lord said, that faith in your heart is righteousness. That is, from now on, you have the right to all that I have. You know, I take you from among humanity and I adopted you into the class of the Elohim. For the gift, the impartation of righteousness is taking you and grafting you into Godhead himself, grafting you into the things of God. You have access to the throne of God. You know, and that was a great milestone in the journey of Abraham. And Abraham said, well, then God said, that settled the seed issue. And Abraham said, well, I thank you for the seed. How about the land? I need a land. If I'm going to have a seed, I need a land. The Lord said, okay, let's go into a covenant. This land you are in as a stranger, I'm going to give it to you. And he entered into a covenant, and the Lord spoke to him, and everything seems okay and settled. But in chapter 16, things begin to, you know, go somehow. Of course, the wife came, suggested, and he fell in for it, which is part of the problem we're having in the nations of the earth today. You know, then in chapter 17, the Lord came and said, Abraham, Abraham, walk thou before me and be blameless. Walk before me. Don't get carried away. Don't lose your focus. Walk before me. And I can see the Lord speaking to you and me. Walk thou before me. It's time for us to walk before him and be blameless. You know, we are all believers who gave our life to Christ. We love Jesus. We attend fellowship. We are covenant children of God, each one of us. But along the line, how has your Christian life been? How has it been with you today compared to when you first believed? Are you still carrying on with the faith, the covenant? So Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham in chapter 17, verse 1, he said, walk thou before me and be thou blameless. And I can see the Lord calling each one of us to walk before me and be thou blameless. That is, let my eyes guide you. Don't do things as though you are on your own. There is no law, there is nothing, I'm just on my own. The Father is asleep. No, do things as do your, his eyes is open, let his eyes guide you, lead you. Everything you do, every step you take, every decision you make, every thought you think, ask yourself, is this acceptable in the sight of my Father? Can this thing I'm doing, this thought I'm thinking right now, excuse me, and the sight of my Father, you know, behold it. Can I go to the my Father's side before with this? It is time to walk before him. Walk under the glorious light of his presence. So God spoke to Abraham, and God had to reenact the covenant and put the covenant in his flesh for circumcision. And that is what the Lord is doing now. The cutting of the flesh, putting away of the flesh, so that all the flesh we have gathered, all the detour between the time we actually sincerely seek the Lord and this time the sharp knife is coming to cut them off. They will not follow us into the promised land. they must be cut off. So God told Abraham, go and take a sharp knife. There's a lot of flesh. I need to cut it off. The covenant will now be in your flesh. And that is where we are. Individually, we need to look at, you know, the issues, the truth that governs our Christian life, and begin to ask ourselves, supposing Jesus Christ come today, supposing he come right now, what will he say to you? Will he say, well done, my daughter? Or will he say, I don't know you? Will he say, well done, my son? Or will he say, get away from me? We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been called out of the world to be a people to God, to be a holy people. We did not choose him. He chose us. He set the law. He set the criteria. He set the terms and the references. It's not you. It's not about you. So it's time for us to begin to ask ourselves and begin to reevaluate our lives. And I believe each one of us are already doing that. Please, let's continue to. That's what this lockdown time could achieve. Each one of us. That's what it is meant to achieve in our lives. And let's continue. Every habit, every character trait. Because it's not about preaching. It's not even about multitude of praying. Prayer is good. It's not even about multitude of praying. It's not about preaching. It's not about conferencing. All those things are good. It is about the heart-to-heart walk with God. Does God know you? As his own, he said, walk thou before me. It's time for us to walk before him. Forget about any other. What will people say? What are they saying? What will they not say? Doesn't make any difference. The Lord had already promised Abraham, I will give you a seed. And he believed God. But somehow he began to doubt, how will this seed come? How will it come? I'm sure that was what the wife saw and said, oh, my dear, let's do something about this promise. After all, God did not say this by me, so we can choose another way for God and bless it. You know, God did not say the particular womb, so anybody can do it. You know, and he went, and God said, Abraham. See, I told you, okay, it's going to be the seed from your own loin. And it's going to be from your wife's womb. It's going to be from Sarah's womb. But walk thou before me. Individually, it doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord. Whether you are 1 year or 2 years or 10 years or each one of us, the Lord is instructing us, walk thou before me and be thou blameless. And immediately he said that, he instituted a covenant. And we're going to look at those covenants, because that is the basis of our relationship with God. Covenants. God cherished covenants. God values his covenant above any other thing. And any man who wants to walk with God must be a man that knows how to cherish the covenant of God. That knows how to interpret and relate to the covenant of God. God is a covenant keeper. And he always shows himself mighty on behalf of those that know his covenant. So God has to make another covenant. And God has made a covenant with you and me. We are covenant children. We may have broken, we may have gone out of the covenant. You know, like Abraham did. We may have doubted the integrity of the covenant. We may have sought to do things to make it work for ourselves, just like Abraham did in chapter 16. But the Lord is coming back to you again and says, look, my daughter, I want to make a new covenant with you. Because you see, this girl is a father. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, hills may remove, mountains may defy. He said, the complement of peace of me will never be taken away. He's not a man to lie, nor a son of man to repent. Whatever he says he will do from the beginning, that's what he will do even at the end. He's a father. He's a father indeed. And you are his child. We are his children. And he loves us. He loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. If you cut him into 1 million pieces, every part of it will still say the same thing. Daughter, son, I love you. And the covenant he made with us is to express his love. Is to show how much he cares. His covenant with us is not grievous. Is to express his love. Is to show that truly I'm responsible. It's just like a young man and a woman who wants to marry. If the young man is serious, he will not be afraid. Let's go to the court. Let's make it come a covenant. You know, God made a covenant with you and me. The book of Deuteronomy started with that, chapter 5. It says, the Lord God made a covenant with us at Horeb. In the beginning of that nation, he made a covenant. The Lord called a covenant with you and me. Let's go back to the terms and references of this covenant. And particularly in the light of what we have gone through in the last couple of months, it demands that everyone who is really serious with God should go back again. Because our safety depends on that covenant. Our life depends on it. Our future, our tomorrow is bounded up in it. If you are looking for safety in the world or security in the world system, you will be disappointed. But if you know the truth of the covenant, if you internalize it, if you allow it to fill your heart, you will stand strong. And you will do exploit. The tomorrows are only for those who have come to term with the covenant of God. Those are the ones that own the tomorrow. It's not for the Bill Gates or for the whatever you call them. It's for those who know God. Who know their God. Who have entered into covenant. Who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. Those who know their God. Those who are not playing around Christianity and playing around churches, who have sat down with God and look at the term and the references of the covenant. They are the ones that tomorrow is meant for. So be among them. There's the time for you to make amends. I'm trying to make amends. We're all making amends. We're all shaking ourselves from the dust. You know, putting on our beautiful garment, learning to walk with him. Where we have failed yesterday, we are learning to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I know I did it wrong. Help me again. Let each one of us arise. Let's stand in the name of the Lord. So we'll be looking at the covenant. The Lord our God is a covenant-keeping God. And like I said, we want to live. We want to move. You want to walk. You want to survive the days ahead. Get acquainted with God in his covenant. Because that is your safety bar. Say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know what I have for them. Therefore, they are destroyed. Don't be among them. Know what is written for you. Get familiar with, get acquainted with him, and be at peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Get acquainted with God. learning at his feet, taking his commandment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless you, Lord. We worship. Covenant keeping God, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just worship you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let's go back to the covenant. In the book of Malachi, the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 4. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi. Levi is the priestly, is the priesthood. Is the priesthood of the Old Testament. And we're going to talk about how it had to be with them and not with others. We'll get there when we begin to read the book of Hebrew. Verse 5. My covenant was with him for life and peace. And I want you to mark that in your Bible. That is what the covenant covers. That is the sphere of the covenant. It's life and peace. And if there's anything that the world is looking for, is this true life and peace. Coronavirus has shown to us that there is really no life in man. And there is no peace in man. And what the whole world is looking for is life and peace. They make all kinds of postulations and suggestions and all that. It failed. Many of the people that God healed have to look for, you know, some natural herbs here and there to get it through. Men are looking for life. Men want to survive. Men are looking for peace, quietness, restfulness. And they are running from pillar to post. They are even going to war to get peace. If it will mean going to war, we'll go to war and get peace. They explore to the depth of the sea. They go to the height of the mountain, to the sky. What are they looking for? Life and peace. The whole humanity is running to and fro looking for life and peace. And if they are running like that, we should not do that. We should not follow them because we have a covenant. It's a covenant of life and of peace. So know this covenant and you will not run. You will not fear their fear. When they are saying, oh, let us go there, let us run there, you will say, no, I'm not. I have what you are going there. I have it abundantly in you. Life and peace. And this is always the thing that God gives to man. This is what man lost at the beginning. And this is what God is restoring to us. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. I was afraid before my name. He feared the Lord. May the Lord teach us to fear him. Can go and read Psalm 34. He said, come, my children, let me teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. That is an heritage for those that fear him also. And it is those ones that we know this covenant we're talking about. The fear of the Lord. To hate evil. To love truth. To love righteousness. The fear of the Lord will make you to be patient with your brethren. To be patient with them. The fear of the Lord will make your heart to be large, to accommodate and love concentration is on the covenant. So say the covenant of life and of peace is with him. Is with you also. The covenant of life and peace is with you. God gave it to you and me. So you don't need to look for life any other place. You don't need to look for life in any other place or peace in any other place. It's right in you.
Amen.
It's inside of you. See, God gave it to you. And please, I want you to note something in the scripture. Please, whenever you are reading the Bible, and God said he has given you something, please pause and take note of it. Don't gloss over it. Because God does not give you what you don't need. He gave you because he knew you will need it. So he gave us redemption. Go and look at it. You need it. So he gave it to you. He didn't just give you life and peace. That would have just been enough. He gave you a covenant. He tied to a covenant. And that is what we're going to look at. Why didn't he just say, I gave them life and peace? But he gave it to them by a covenant, by an agreement that make it more striking. That makes it more striking. Why? Because you don't have access to it except by the covenant. You can pray all the prayer you want to pray. You can fast all the fast. If you are not part of the covenant, if you don't belong to the covenant, you don't have access to it. So the only way you can access this life and peace is through the covenant. So if you are not part of the agreement, if it doesn't cover you, you can't access it. No matter what you do, you can go to any length, you can get it. But thanks be to God. As many of us as have given our life to Christ, as many of us as have called him Lord, we are a covenant community. This covenant covers you. Jesus Christ has established this covenant for you and me. You are part of this covenant. You have been initiated into the covenant community. So you have access to life and to peace. You have access to it by the covenant. Remember, you don't have access to it because you are good. You don't have access to it because you pray much, or because you fast much, or because you have all the knowledge of the Bible, or because you are. It's good to have all those. It's good to pray. The reason why you have it is because what? Because of the covenant. Of the covenant. Now, in covenant, there are two sides to it. And everybody takes his own part. Everybody takes his own part. A covenant is like an agreement you enter into. And there's an exchange. There's something that goes from you. There's something that comes back to you. For instance, in building, you enter into agreements. You want to build a house. I want to build a house. You have the idea of what you want to build. You call an architect or an engineer. They design it for you. You enter into a covenant with a contractor. Give me the house exactly as I have designed it, and I will pay you this amount. You sign the agreement, and everyone go. And you come to be expecting it. After he finished the foundation, he said, come and look at it. Is it okay? You look at it. It's okay. It's okay. He pays you. No other person can go to him. No other person can call him. It's only you. And the same way, my brother and my sister, we have a covenant, an agreement with God, of which you can always cash upon every time it's available. Can always cash upon it. The contractor can always lay claim on the client's money. Say, pay me $500,000, I'll finish the work. They don't have to look for it and give it to you. That is the covenant with man. That is the way it is. The old covenant is similar to that. It's a two-sided covenant. It's a two-way agreement. That is when I say the Old Testament, I mean the Mosaic Covenant. It's a two-sided. And each one of them has to follow it. When we read the book of Hebrews, we're going to take a lot of reading in the book of Hebrews. So, because that's a book that really explains it more. So let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Okay, let's take a jump and come to chapter 8, but we still come back to chapter 6 and then we'll go to chapter 6 and then we still go to chapter 6 and then move. Chapter 6. But we're reading now from chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 7. He said, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. From verse 6. But now, had he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Verse 8. But finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. The first one with Moses was faulty. It has a fault. And God have to initiate another one. And this one, he said, is established upon a better promise. So that is the first covenant. That is the first agreement. The Mosaic one. And the Bible says God had fault with it. Fault with who? Fault with the covenant? No. Fault with those who are to serve under the covenant. So that's why he said, having fault with them. With them who are supposed to be custodian and work with that covenant, they could not. And God had to change it and bring about a new covenant. Establish upon a better promise. So, let's go back. Every covenant is given because there's a promise. There is a promise. There is an expectation. There is something that is expected to be delivered. So that is a promise. And when we look at the covenant that we have with God, based on the term and the reference of the promise, it becomes more exciting. It becomes more something we long for more. There is a promise. And the promise can be divided into these two phrases, life and peace. The whole of the promise can be looked at in these two dimensions, life and peace. And it is on the basis of that promise that the covenant is made to you and me. And like I said, it's become more needful for us to take a look at it because of what we have experienced. And what we know is still going to come more. Each one of us need to know the source of our lives. Each one of us need to come to terms with where our peace lies. Because there's going to be a lot of tribulations. To you and me, God has promised, and He will ensure our peace is undisturbed. In the name of Jesus. So, God promise, with a covenant. As we read, going back to chapter 6 of Hebrew, like I said, we're going to read the whole of that, and chapter 7, and chapter 8, and chapter 9. So we're going to take from chapter 6, verse 13. He said, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 13 again. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently, and I want you to mark that word, patiently, endured, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. The promise that was made to him. And when you look at the promise that is made to Abraham, it's conveyed to him in the word of blessing that God gave to him. And that's why we should always remember to bless ourselves. So anytime you bless yourself in the word of the Lord, you are only reenacting the promises of God. It's very important. God said we should be doing that continually. So he said again, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by saying, so the word of promise is the word of blessing. In blessing, I will bless you and multiply you. So whenever you see God coming out in blessing, he is actually giving you a promise. And all the promises, all the blessing, the word of blessing that God gives can be summarized in these two words. It's for life and it's for peace. So you and me, we have a strong consolation. We don't need to run helter-skelter. We don't need to run to the east coast or to the north. We can stay and have whatever we need. And all that man needs is life and peace. And here God has not only promised us with it, he has blessed us with it. And he has not only blessed us with it, he has interposed it with a covenant, with an agreement. And he has given it to you. He gave you the covenant of life and peace. In the book of Genesis, let's go back a little. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, the Bible says God made man in his image and his likeness. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 1. first point of call, of reference to anything that is of man. This is the first mention about you and me. And you and me can trace our origin to this particular verse, this particular scripture, this particular point. There was nothing before then that talks about you and me. This is the first point. And as we arrive on the scene, the first thing God says is he blesses us. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And I want to tell you that every other promise or blessings that came from the mouth of God from now on is always an expansion, a further elaboration on these ones. This is the principle. This is the principle. This is the real core of our blessing. Whatever blessing, whatever promises God gives hereafter is always a fulfillment of this. It's always a further elaboration, a further expansion of this. So when you get this five, you know, list into your spirit, when you internalize it, when you go through any place in the scripture where your blessing or promise is being mentioned, you will be able to relate to it, because it is saying what has already been said at the beginning. And that is why you and me have a reference. This is our reference point. So as you go on in life, if anything is said to you about you that does not resonate with this, you have the right to reject it. Whether it comes as a dream or somebody said it or whatever, and you look at this, it does not bring fruitfulness, it does not make you to multiply, it does not make you to, you know, replenish, you know, that is filled everywhere, it does not make you to, you know, subdue and ultimately give you dominion. You can throw it away. It's not from God. This is the first, he's the first to speak. And whatever must be said in between must be in alignment with what they have said. And when you look at these five elements, we can group it into those two: life and peace. The first four: be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have to do with life. And the last one, have dominion, have to do with peace. The first four is encapsulated together in the covenant of life. Because it is only as you are living that you can be fruitful and multiply and replenish. It is only through life you can subdue. And when you are subdued and you keep subduing, when eventually it is all subdued and you begin to reign and have dominion, it is peace. It is quietness. And that is the reference to all the covenant of blessing that God has enjoyed with you and me. And God will have us individually and collectively to always look at it. Don't let it escape you. Don't forget it. Don't let it go from, you know, keep it in your forehead. Crown yourself with it and move along with it. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, let's take a step further. So, the covenant of life and peace is assured you. It's a promise, and it is established by a covenant. What is this life? We're talking about the divine life. We're talking about the very life of God, which is more superior to the ordinary life of man. It is the uncreated life. It is the uncreated life that God gave to man. Because after God made man, it was the last creation that he made. And he entered into his rest. He closed up the aspect of creation. And he entered into his rest. The next one he's going to make, the next one he's going to create, which is called the new creation, came out of the uncreated life and gave it to you and me. So we have access by the covenant to the divine life, which is far more higher than the natural life that men are looking for. All that is befalling man now is looking for the natural life. But after he has gotten that life, maybe he's able to survive this one. Another one come, and another one come. How many will he be able to survive? But the eternal life is not like that. Jesus talked to the woman at the well. He said, when you drink this water, you will still come. But the one that we give to you, they will become a spring of life. That is what eternal life is. It generates life. It's having life in itself. It doesn't depend on the things outside. Whenever we relate to the things outside, we are dealing with our natural life, our human life, which is still with us. But the divine life doesn't need it. And you knew and me need to be very, very acquainted and conscious of this divine life that we carry. It is given to us by the covenant. And I pray that each and every one of us will take time to go and look at what this divine life is all about. What is it meant to achieve me? You know, during this period, to be praying for, you know, people here and there, the first thing that always comes to my mind, my heart while I'm praying is that God, particularly when it's a child of God, God, give this person the knowledge, the understanding of the covenant of life that you have made. For when this person has an understanding of it and is internalized, this that seems to be, you know, rearing his head up, will immediately be crushed. The divine life that you and me are partaker of swallows up death. Every dying process and everything that is related to death in Adam is swallowed up. This is a life that is beyond the natural. God has called you and me into that estate of life. And you and me are a partaker of it. It's already in us. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given it to you and me. Go back to the scripture and search it. Look at it. And internalize it. There's so much that can be said, but I'm just looking at the time now and it's like we're already, you know, at 12 o'clock. So and we just have to be rounding up. And we're going to take the aspect of the covenants, you know, in a more detail, you know, later on. You know, so the life is the life of God, is the breath of God in you and in me. And you and me need to come to time to understanding about what this life in us is meant to be. What is it meant to achieve? What are the scope of his influence, of his power? What are the things that are tied to it? You and nations were running helter skelter. We'll be fearing the fears of the nations. And that will not be our call. That will not be our portion. But we know it. And it's going to make you to be fruitful. Fruitfulness. Bearing God's character, God's nature. Fruitfulness. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Transformed. Make you to multiply. Your fruit will come of fullness, will come of age. It will no longer be going in and out. It will not be, oh, today you are up, tomorrow you are down. It's a constancy. You will multiply. You will not diminish. It's the same word used in Psalm 23. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not diminish. I shall not, be diminished. I shall multiply. You shall grow. You shall expand. When he was giving them the land of promise, he said, look, he said, I will not drive you with the beast in one day. He said, always, I will not, always the beast will increase. He said, but as you increase, as you multiply, the nation have to shift their own boundary. That is it. So we should grow. We should increase in knowledge of him. In the truth of him, in the life of him, in his character. We should examine ourselves every day. Let the life of God that we are partaking of, that we are a partaker of, find expression in our dealing, in our lives. Don't give yourself any holiday. Don't give yourself any excuse. Judge every action, judge every motive, judge every thought. If it is not the, is it not coming from the life, that is the only way you can know this is of God. There are two trees in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life. If it is not from the tree of life, then you don't have any business. It might even look good. It might look appealing. It might look welcoming. But if it's not on the tree of life, throw it away. The tree of life sometimes may not look pleasant, may not look good. May make you to lose face, may make you to be ashamed, may make you to, take it. Eventually, it will bring forth the life of God. Sometimes it may not look pleasant. Sometimes it may not look, but this other one will always look pleasant to the eyes. Let us run away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's eat the tree of life that is in the midst of the garden. And let's keep eating it. For we have been called to life. In the name of Jesus. There's so much that we will need to go through it. That I need to begin to round up because of time. It's already 12 o'clock here. But let me just say this and then we begin to pray. So the covenant of life, we're going to focus more on that today. And then, subsequently, we'll take the covenant of peace. And then we'll relate the two of them together and talk about the covenant itself. And so I will just zero in more on the life aspect. Because that is the one that has to do with you and me now. There is a battle for life. People are struggling for life. People are looking for life at every means. Hospital is not helping them. But I'm telling you, brother, I said, there's a life in you that swallows up death. There's a life in you that you're already partaker of, that is given to you by covenant, that no death can come near. There's a life already in you. You're already a partaker. You're already signed to it. It's in you. It's available. It's given to you. And it is not the life of man. It is the life of God himself. The eternal life. The Zoe of God. And it's given to you by a covenant. It's given to you. He has given it to you. Discover this life. Search the scripture. Find out what is meant to achieve. shadows of death in victory is a life that Jesus Christ used when he was here on earth, and he left it for you and me to continue to prolong in his days. We are that life. He's in you. And let's use it. Let's, you know, put it to use. Let's be more conscious about it. Let's live by it. It comes to us. It continues to grow and expand. It multiplies itself. It's not a static life. It's a life that continues to, anywhere it goes, it multiplies, it grows. Because its ultimate is to subdue. And its ultimate is to have dominion. It's already in you. There's nothing you can do about it. Just give it truth. Give it the necessary something that is going to grow and multiply. God has declared it so. So that death is continually diminishing. Life is growing continually. Life is growing. Death is swallowed up in victory. Sicknesses, disease, affliction, they are all swallowed up in victory. There is a life in you. There is a life in you. There is a surge in you that is taking over all your cell structure. Arresting all the aging process. Terminating all the rules of death that have been, the poison of death that have been put into order, is the law of life. It sets you free from the law of sin and death. It's given to you and me. Let's make use of it. And tying it up, though we're still going to come back to it, let me say this. He said the new covenant, the new agreement, this covenant of life is going to be put in our heart, and it's going to be written in our minds. It's there in our hearts, and it's in our mind. That is where it is. It is in our hearts, the seat of wisdom. It is in our heart, the seat of affection unto God. And it's in our mind, the seat of understanding. That is where God has chosen to put this covenant. Not on the paper, not on the table of stone, which could be thrown away, which could be discarded, but it's permanently in you. Therefore, as we round up, guide your heart with all diligence. Guide your heart. Watch over it with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. They are the outflow of the life. Your mind, fully renewed. The thought you think yesterday, the thought you are thinking today, there should be a change. There should be an appreciation in the level of the quality of your mind and of your heart towards God, towards the things of God. These are the indicators that are showing that truly you are partaking of the tree of life and you are keeping the covenant. It's in your heart and it's in your mind. May the Lord help us. May the Lord continue to strengthen us. May the Lord continue to shine his light upon us. May our heart and our mind truly be given over to him and be used for his glory. In the name of Jesus, may our heart become the ark of his covenant. May our mind become the place where he writes his law. And may we lead it day by day and fellowship with it. For that is our anchor. That is our safety in the days ahead. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I will want to stop here and then see if we can begin.
Certain, let's just begin to respond to the word. Let us begin to respond to the word that has come. The word of the Lord has come so is so cool and so powerful unto us.
Very energizing. The heavy truth has been communicated. Let us ask the Lord for help.